Listening with love to the word. In conversation through hurting, healing, and hope. Week 5. Forgiveness.
I think forgiveness is something we as survivors of abuse all struggle with throughout our lives in different dimensions. Now, John is painting an incredibly powerful picture in that reading of the woman taken in adultery. Now, can you explain to us a little more about what was it about that reading that spoke to you of forgiveness?
This, actually, I had to search for this reading because I didn't know where it came from. Well, I did, but the picture for me was initially of watching, as a young child, Jesus of Nazareth when it first came onto television. It was serialised. And we as a family would sit down and watch that. And one of the scenes that had a tremendous impact was the woman being stoned and Jesus himself standing there and saying to them, those who have not sinned, you can cast the first stone. And they didn't. And they all walked away and it was left with him standing there, Robert Powell playing him. And he said, I don't condemn you either. And it showed his face and he's looking at the adulterous woman. And that had a tremendous impact on me. I had no idea at the time which part of scripture or which gospel that had come from. But for me, it gave me a hope that I might be forgiven. And if people are thinking this is about forgiveness of the perpetrator, it isn't. It's about forgiveness of myself. And that might sound really strange to some people. But if I give you a bit of the background to this, as I grew up, I was taught, initially at primary school when I learned about confession, and then into secondary school, that I had a soul, and the soul was white, and every time I committed a sin, I would have a black spot on my soul, and those black spots were venial sins. But if I committed a mortal sin, then my soul would turn black. And that picture stuck with me, and going to confession was about sorting out your soul. And we as a family would go to confession every 6 weeks. And whenever I used to come out of confession, my father would say to me, have you remembered to say everything? And I got so scared and so worked up that if I hadn't remembered to say anything, I would be in more trouble. And so I used to say yes, not knowing whether I had remembered to say anything or I hadn't, because it seemed easier that way. What nobody spoke about was that forgiveness went with this and that I was forgiven every time I went to confession. I thought I was only forgiven if I remembered to say everything. And so one of the time I went to secondary school and the thought of sex and the word of that at secondary school in the time I was there, I learnt or I picked up, or whether I was taught this or not, that sex and thoughts about sex and sexual things happening out of marriage were very serious sins. And with being abused by the time I was a teenager, I had therefore, in some way in my head, committed these sins. So my soul was black. And I had no idea how I was going to turn this soul white again. And this is the desperation I felt. And confession, much as it should have been, it's not something I wanted to confess in confession in case I was told I could not be forgiven for this. And I also blamed myself for letting it happen. And I thought I should have been able to stop it so that I was the one at fault. And so the person I had to forgive was me. And I realised in error that nobody, somewhere along the line, people hadn't talked about forgiveness. It was more about the sin. And I don't remember being taught that confession was that you were forgiven. It was all about remembering which sins to say and getting that right. And I would do the litany of sins every 6 weeks. But I never had that feeling of relief or being, that God had forgiven me. And because this scripture reading, the woman here is an adulteress, which is therefore having sex and out of marriage and breaking the law. For me as a child, Christ here at this point forgives, in my head as it was at the time, the worst sin that could happen. And it gave me that little glimmer of hope that was a chance of me being forgiven for what had happened to me and what I'd had to do. And it was the first time in my life that I thought there was a possibility of being forgiven. And it's always stuck in my mind. And it's the picture. And if I could have found the photograph of Robert Powell playing Jesus of Nazareth doing that with the woman, that look on his face, that compassion is what stuck in my mind, that Christ, there was compassion here and there was a possibility. But to live most of my life thinking that I was unforgivable. So for any healing to start with me on that, dealing with the abuse that's happened, I had to forgive myself. And yet I know now that I had nothing to forgive because it wasn't my fault and I hadn't caused it. And nothing I did caused what happened to me. But as that child and the inner child inside struggled with this. And it's taken me a long time because I would beat myself up for this happening to me. And it stopped me letting people get to know me because they would realise what a wicked person I was. And the fear of telling anybody about it was that they might confirm that I was bad and I shouldn't have done these things. So what went along with this was an absolute terror of talking about it in case I was told that I was as bad as I thought I was. But somewhere along in my life, after this reading, I remember a child. He had just made his first confession and he went to confession on a regular basis. And I remember him standing in front of me and he said to me, he said, "I love going to confession. I go and sit in this big armchair and I tell Father what I've done and he tells me that I'm forgiven and it's great." And I remember crying after this because I wished I had that view of going to confession that this child had, and I was quite jealous of his love of going to confession and the hope that he had after it, and I didn't have that. And I was an adult at the time, and I wanted to be able to see if I could find that forgiveness and that love that he experienced of God that I didn't. And so as much as the sacrament of forgiveness should be the most powerful thing, is that hope and that love given from God. For me, it's the most difficult, because it comes with fear of getting it wrong. It comes with the teaching of sexual things are so wrong. And because of the abuse that took place and the not talking about it, and nobody talking about it becoming so secret and not being anything discussed out in the open, I saw myself as unforgivable. But the glimmering hope, and it's this scripture reading, is this, is where Jesus does forgive. And in my little head, it was the worst sin of all. And that's why I love it. And I love the picture of it. Nowadays, I know that I can be forgiven and that God has forgiven everything, that things that have happened. But there was nothing to forgive. But that child inside me still struggles with it, even though the adult knows the real. I struggle to separate the two at times. And the child can take over and I can beat myself up. And the child can run riot inside, convincing myself that all the things I've done and how wrong it is, how wrong I've been. So for me, this is more hopeful than damning. And it's something that makes me feel quite emotional when I talk about it, to see the sad, broken state that I was in and the hopelessness that I felt because I didn't think there was anything I could do to make myself a better person, and the damage that had happened to me from the earliest age, and along with the sexual abuse, with the emotional abuse that I went through, that being told I was no good and not wanted. And if I wasn't wanted by the people who brought me into the world, then why would God want me? And added to this was feeling so not wanted and God not wanting me and being in this constant state of sin. I wasn't sure whether I should go to communion, because I'd also taught that I should not go to Holy Communion, receive Holy Communion when I was in a state of sin. And as a young child, I would be scared stiff as I was making the whole situation worse by going to receive Holy Communion. But the other part of me was somewhere someone had taught me that, you know, that God would be there for me, and communion was the best thing to receive because it would give you that grace and hope to carry on with that week. And I was so mixed up as to whether I should go to communion or not. But then if I didn't go, I'd have to explain to my parents why I hadn't gone to communion. And then I'd be in more trouble for having to explain why I hadn't gone as to why I was in that state of sin to not be able to go to communion. So I decided it was safer to go to communion, though I probably shouldn't have been. And as a young child and growing to teenage, this messed with my head so much. So I thought even going to communion was something wrong, and I was making myself not an enemy of God, but he would be more disappointed with me than he already was. So I was forgiving myself for doing all these things that I thought were wrong. And that forgiving the perpetrator never came to mind in this, because I couldn't even see past the damage that I was doing to myself. But now I'm learning to love myself, all my faults and failings, and to recognise that God loves me for who I am, regardless of what I have done. And yeah, and that's a strange place to be, to feel loved by something, because that's not what I felt as I was growing up with the abuse that took place in my home. It separated me from any love, and I wouldn't allow people to love me for fear of being hurt. So actually allowing God in to love me is a strange place, and it's taken years to get to that point. But I only got to that point by realising that I could be forgiven for the mistakes that I'd made. So this reading for me is the one I love most of all, because it gave me the hope that I was missing. So that's why I chose this. I don't know what you think about it.
Thank you so much. Really, thank you. It's a great blessing for me to hear the hope in your voice and in your story. I can empathize with what you were saying earlier on about the incongruity that we as survivors, we take on the guilt of the abuse. We blame ourselves. We are at fault, we think. And then when we get older, we realize, well, we were children. We were children. We trusted, and the abuse happened. And for me, you've opened up a new area of forgiveness for me to look at in my own life, and a new area of hope. And it is, for me, a real blessing that you've pointed out how much God loves us in our sad and broken state. And he will put his arms around us in that sad and broken state. And he loves us as we are, with messed up heads and broken hearts. And to him, we are just completely lovable. So thank you for that hope. And thank you for also bringing out in me the understanding that I'm not alone in thinking that we take on the guilt and we blame ourselves. Thank you very much. That was so touching and very powerful. So many, many thanks.